Hey everybody, this is Chad Daniels, and you have landed in the middle of somewhere. Hello, thanks for coming back. Oh my God, if anyone knows how to deal with technology, please DM me and come be my friend and live in my office, because I just tried to erase a data card, and I don't even think it's called a data card. That's how old I am. It's a fucking HD card that I put in my little Zoom recorder here, and I tried to delete everything because my other card wasn't working, and oh my God, I'm ready to pull my hair out. Across from me, as always, is Cyrus Amundson.
I like that on air you're talking about pulling your hair out, but off air you were discussing what your suicide note would say.
Well, yeah, people don't need to, we don't need to open with that.
You've cleaned it up a little bit from where you were at a few minutes ago. We got a guest today that I'm psyched about, but can I tell you something quick?
Too. Yeah.
Right before the show started, I went to Whole Foods to get some salmon. I went to get some lox because I'm a big bacon and lox and eggs guy. Make a little lox breakfast taco, tortilla, burrito, one of those. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, sure. It's in a flour wrap. We get it.
Yeah. My wife wanted me to pick up coffee. And so I had to go down the coffee aisle. And as I turned the corner, there was this kid just standing there, like probably 4 years old, but there was no parents. Like I could see the whole aisle. There was no parents, and I turned around and looked behind me, and there was no parents. And for a second, I had that moment where I was like, "Did a kid die here? Is this a good?" Because he was such a weird looking, just like pale, long haired. I was like, "Is it a ghost? Is it a haunted Whole Foods?"
This is the kid that turns and looks at you and sings a kid's song in a creepy fucking voice. Jesus loves me, this I know. And you're just standing there with coffee and lox, shitting your pants. No, thank you.
You just turn the corner and he's like, the best part of waking up. I got a little concerned and I was like, hey man, where's your mom? And he just looked at me, and I was like, your mom, where is she? Because you're alone. Where's your mom? And then he just went full tears. And I don't mean like, like where it wells up and starts. He went from 0 to 100 fast. It was crazy. And then here comes the mom around the corner, and she's like, what are you doing? What's going on here? You're a shitty-ass mom. And I'm trying to help you. Don't accuse me of being a Whole Foods pedophile because I'm trying to save your weight. And while you're at it, give this fucking kid some meat. Look at this waify, sick child. Whatever you're here buying, head over to Kroger and get a fucking slab of ribs, you lunatic. This pasty ghost needs to be parented better and he needs to be fed correctly. Why is he crying right now? I was trying to help him.
Cut to 30 years from now, where this kid's on a podcast going, you know, I was just in therapy and I had forgotten about this, but I was in Whole Foods one time and I was sitting there minding my own business. My mom said she wanted to get me my last Christmas gift. So she asked me to just step to the next aisle and I did. And then around the corner comes a man all by himself, pasty and thin. And he says, hey, where's your mother? And I think immediately he's going to start looking at me and start singing things like, I don't know, some country, insert country lyrics here. And now he's freaking out and he goes, hey, wait, where's my mom? Where's your fucking mom? Why don't you have her go to Kroger's and buy you some ribs, you creepy motherfucker?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Skeet McGraw performing his new hit single, Your Son's Gonna Die in That Whole Foods.
Well, it all started in aisle 5. When I came over, I don't have anything that rhymes with 5.
If you think pea protein will help your son grow, I don't have anything to rhyme with grow either. We're not in a good place with our Skeet McGraw bits right now.
Let's forget Skeet McGraw because we have a more important guest.
Never forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, which is actually the name of Skeet's third album. Ladies and gentlemen, you may remember him from the live episode we did on Christmas. I didn't even have to say on Christmas because it's the only one we've ever done.
What if I think it'd be great if Skeet McGraw, just every time there was any sort of American tragedy, he tried to hop on the Never Forget, like, and this is Skeet McGraw's Never Forget album about the Boston Marathon bombing. Just like, I know you're trying to introduce our guests, but those runners were just trying to run after the starter pistol man fired his gun, but those terrorists had another thing in mind.
Left foot, right foot, that's how they were planning. And they didn't know that the terrorist was, gosh, yeah, rhyming
It's
is
hard.
hard.
It's hard. It's very,
Yeah.
very
I was
difficult,
waiting.
Greg. We
I
were
thought you
both
had something
excited.
ready.
Yeah, we were
Oh,
both
that's so
excited.
funny.
Skeet
That is so funny.
McGraw's a lyrical genius, and you can't just walk in and replicate what he does.
Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, you may remember him from our only live podcast ever. He is a great friend of both of ours. New father, wonderful comedian, new album out. A lot of things
Yeah.
going on. Ladies
Couple
and gentlemen,
new
it's Greg Coleman.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. By the way, I'm not sure if the people see this, but Cy, you see, don't walk up on kids in what you're wearing.
It's I have a hoodie on. I have a hoodie on and Lululemon
And
sweatpants.
sweatpants.
This is an expensive sweatshirt. These are
Okay.
expensive sweatpants. I'm not gonna have I'm sick of people.
Oh, so you can pay your bail. Okay, great.
All right, cool. I got it.
That's all that says is I can pay my bail after I show my dick to your kid. That's what that outfit says.
That's probably what it was.
Well, you know what? Maybe fuck, you know,
No,
fuck
it's all
both
right,
you
Sai.
guys.
It's
It's a
cool.
nice
You
fucking
made that
sweatshirt.
kid
Do
cry, and then the mom came
I didn't
back.
make the kid cry. The mom's bad parenting led to a situation in which the child welled tears. It's
For
not
sure.
on me.
Oh,
Okay,
deflecting.
you're right.
Okay. Yeah.
You're
This
right,
is
man.
called deflecting.
Yeah,
Oh,
you're right. I really
Chad and
came
I
to that
are
as a compliment.
parents. Chad and
Dot
I are
com.
parents, so we have an evolved a sense of understanding of what you should be wearing when you approach a toddler in a store who's all
Yeah, you're right. My bad, Si. I shouldn't have came
Thank
in
you.
guns blazing. Man, thank you for having me on here, Barb,
It's
for your
really
thoughts.
nice to see you.
Thanks,
I
buddy.
love you and your family, Greg. Thank you for joining
Great to
us.
see you.
You have a bunch of great stories. I mean, I got the list. Love all of them. I'm gonna just hop right in. I would love so I'm gonna do something. Well, just because I feel like it. Hey, everybody, it's Moose in the Morning. It's live time. It's drive time. You're not gonna believe who we have in the hot seat today. It's Greg Coleman. Hey, Greg, you used to work in morning radio. Go ahead and tell us one of those stories.
Choo choo choo. All right, well, thanks, Skeet. This was years and years ago. I used to work on the Tony Fly morning show.
In Minneapolis,
And
right?
for those familiar with this area, Tony Fly, it's kind of radio legend, I would
Yeah,
say, especially
sure.
back in his cape.
Heyday.
Like Tony, yeah, man, we used to not be able to we used to get in trouble for listening to Tony Fly because he was kind of like the bad boy.
On the edge.
Yeah, like he was on the edge, like, oh, I'm gonna play Whitesnake during 5 p.m. traffic or whatever. But like fast forward years later, I ended up getting an internship at B96, and they're like, hey, you can intern in the morning show. And I was like, that's 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't want to do that. Like, I want to, like, put me on the hip hop show at six. And then I went there, and that just wasn't what it was. So now I ended up working with Tony Fly. I started, what was it, directing this TV show. And it just led to like a lot of weird, different interactions with people I never thought I would be in the same room with.
Right, because when you're that level of a radio show, because he's wildly popular and was for a really long
Yeah.
time in Minneapolis. And that was now, especially with COVID and the changes in society, there used to be a time when if somebody was promoting an album or promoting a movie, they would literally go on, and this still happens to a certain degree, I just don't think as much. But before social media and shit, they would go on tours and stop in cities
Yeah.
and be like, you go on these two TV shows and these four radio stations, and everybody will know your shit. So, like, you get to meet a lot of
Yeah.
crazy people.
If there was like a movie premiere or a huge, arena level comedy show, that's where the people would go to promote everything. So you got to meet the biggest of the big stars.
Yeah, I mean, it was everybody from Charlie Murphy showing up unannounced at 6:10 in the morning and just hanging out with us for the entire radio show. And like radio works in circuits, so you basically do the same show over and over 4 times. And he just stayed. He was like, "Yeah, nah, let's do the news. What's coming up next?" So he's like, "Man, Charlie Murphy's reading the weather," and nobody knew that he was coming. He's like, "I saw this
Oh, that's
hip-hop
great.
radio station," and we're like, "All right, man, roll with it." And we have Will Smith. That shows you how crazy it was and the difference that
Yeah.
the big star in the world is like, "Oh, I gotta be here at 7:10 a.m. for the drive time." And I just let me say that, we all hear the rumors about Will Smith, and we have like, "Oh no, Will's in an open marriage, and Will
Yeah, let
might
it
be
run.
bi or
Yeah.
gay or all this other stuff."
We're big rumor
He's,
guys.
listen,
Allegedly. Allegedly.
allegedly, but I want to let you know where this comes from. Once you get in the presence of Will Smith, he just has an aura
Yeah.
about him. Like, he doesn't walk. This man floats. He was literally, he just walked in and we're just like, "Oh," like he looked like he was in the Jamiroquai video, just moving and floating. And he comes into the studio.
There's something about Will. I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah.
I love that show, and I can't imagine, because it's a multicam, it had a live audience, and it had every opportunity to be the hokiest shit you've ever
Yeah.
seen in your. There's a few like comedic actors. When you see them, you're like, that person is so talented. I don't even understand how they pull those lines off. Chad and I feel that way about James Rohde. Steve Carell as the boss in The Office. But Will Smith on that show, if you go back and watch it, you're like, how the fuck? He's so talented and charming that I can't. I don't even think it's about his acting skill. He's got to, like you're saying, he's just got to be that human. When he walks in the room, you're like, well, my eyes are not leaving this fella for the
Yeah,
duration.
at all, and it's true. And then that's what I noticed. And he's super personable. And we've had way lesser stars come in and be bigger jerks. And with Will Smith, we're like, "All right, who knows?" Because his team came in. Like, you
Name
guys
two,
can't take
name two, name
name
two.
two.
We
All right,
love
number one,
rumors.
Chingy. All right, I'm just gonna put this out there. You remember that guy? I love it
No, and
right
that's what's
there.
great about it, because
The
he says lesser
rapper
stars,
Chingy.
and I agree.
Chingy, I'll give you the other guy,
Chad and
Superman.
I
He
support
played
Superman, like the actual, which, Dean Cain?
no, nah, the one after that, the Smallville Superman, and then Toby, who played Spider-Man,
Tobey
Maguire.
Maguire.
Yeah, he was kind of a dick.
Tobey Maguire sucks.
I think so, or at least Tiffany had a bad interaction with him. Tiffany Norton, she used to work at the radio station as well as Shane Moore.
Tom
Yeah.
Welling is who you're thinking of, the man who played Superman in Smallville, a show that did, holy shit,
Pretty
10
decent.
fucking
He was
seasons?
a big dude. Yeah, so don't act like you don't live in those towns. I mean, Worthington, it's a tin shack.
I understand why Smallville might have gotten popular, Greg. You don't have to cut down my entire familial history to get me to admit that. I'm just saying Smallville, 10 seasons is a lot. Get back to Will Smith. We've detoured.
No, it's this he just walks in the room and you're just attracted to him. And he's in there and he's super personal and he's making eye contact. And I said something, I just tagged was something that he said. And I was like, "I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about Will's here," but I was like, "Dude, I gotta try to make Will laugh." And I made him laugh and he touched my leg. And I was just like,
Yeah.
"Oh yeah, I'm having sex with Will Smith, fam. Like, anybody else seeing this?" And so I feel like that's where those rumors start, where Will Smith comes in and you're like, "I'm gonna have sex with this dude." And you're like, "Oh, he's gay." Like, you're trying to push that off. It's just like,
Make
"Nah,
it
man."
not about you.
Yeah, it's about him. Like, look at him coming in here, all flirting with me, asking my name and how I'm doing. And
To
it
let
was
you
just
know the aura of Will Smith, when you told me he put his hand on your leg, I cupped my own testicles.
I did too. That's why you can't see both my hands right now.
I'm sure somebody will get really mad at this because they'll think that I'm minimalizing the experiences of other people's human sexuality. But it's the only way I can describe. I am very much a straight man, but powerful, charming men I'm like really like Will Smith, like you see Brad Pitt in an interview where he's just kind of being soft and funny, and I'm like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe
Yeah.
what role am I playing in this situation? And I'm not even saying that to be funny, like I could be gay with a handsome man. I'm saying like really beautiful, charming, powerful men. I'm halfway there.
Yeah, chubbed up.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm just saying like I get it. I get like I think
Yeah,
my
you would
belief
have been if you would have been in that room.
I'm telling
You would have been.
you, Will would have been like, "That's so funny, Si," and touched my thigh, and then people would have been pulling me off his jeans and shit, like because
They
I'm
had a
just.
team there too. They were on
They're
security.
like
There
they're
were
like,
people there with guns.
another person's going for his jeans. Another person's going for his jeans. They're just ready to go. Well,
I could just touch the hem of his garment.
I think I'm one of those people who thinks sexuality is this weird, undefined. Native Americans, I think I'm talking about something I don't know anything about, but
Yeah,
buckle
wait.
up.
I didn't know that we went there, but I'm
I
ready.
said Native Americans, and Greg clutched his microphone like he was going to be on the episode that finally got me banned from comedy.
I'm 17%. Don't worry about it, baby. We good.
My understanding of certain native cultures is that they viewed sexuality as more of a spectrum. And this is my understanding from somebody who got it from somebody who got it from somebody who probably has an understanding. So this is real, this is a real telephone game of
This is like a
understanding.
Facebook meme regarding the vaccine.
Yes, very, very, very much, very much. So, but is that, they're all like, oh, man with female traits. Man, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's
Yeah.
just.
They had the Madonna scale way back when.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they had it real early.
So I think
I
there's a.
used that line before my wife. I was like, hey, baby, sexuality is on the spectrum. My spectrum just, like certain places touched. Never mind. But anyways, I digress.
Imagine Will Smith touches your leg and then leans in and says, "Here's the situation. My parents went away for a week's vacation. How do you not come in 5 seconds? Good luck."
Even Jazzy Jeff could have been
It's
there
like,
scratching
you're
in the
hitting on
background.
me with one of your most popular lyrics? Come on, William.
I would have taken
Oh, and without
it.
question. And I think that's we talked about this before, Chad, because we know how I feel about Viola Davis, who isn't
Yeah.
a classically young, she's
Yeah, she's a
I like
non-T.
yeah, I like but I like her. I like her skill and her power and her charm. So I think it my point is there's a spot on that spectrum for me. I'm backtracking what I started a couple minutes ago. This is Greg's
No, we're
episode. Chad, I'm gonna go sit over there. I'm gonna go
with you. Yep,
and I'm gonna go
why
sit
don't you
over
go
there.
count to 30? Yeah, why don't you go count to 30 in Spanish?
Okay.
Inside's taking a buddy break.
What
Yeah, we'll
else?
sit in the other room.
Any other cool stories at the morning show?
Dude, it was just like the
There have
most
to be
random.
tons, right?
There is a couple. We used to steal, so we had a fleet of way too big SUVs, way too big rims. This was back in the 24-inch rims type days. And me and my
Spinners?
buddy, yeah, we had spinners.
Oh,
They had
yes.
Hummers with suicide doors, which is like it was taking a risk trying to open up that door and drive it. And me and my homeboy Jermon, who we used to have this like comedy duo type sketch, like basically we were called the Two Broke Boys. So we were like the on-air idiots, or like Desus and Mero before Desus and Mero.
Sure.
Like
Well, I mean,
that's
that's a pretty grandiose statement, but okay, I gotcha.
no, I'm dude. I will
I'm
talk. I
back.
will
I
give
came
you
back, by the way.
three people. Welcome back, Si.
I calmed down. Henry Cavill is another name that would be on my list. I thought of that while I was calming down, but I'm back. Desus and Mero are very good. That was a very cocky statement, but keep going.
Yeah, so anyways, we are the first Bodega Boys. The creator of internet radio came to our station, was like, hey, these two that you got just messing around, you need to have them talk to all your celebrities. So we would do the pre-warm-ups and we
Oh,
would take them
nice.
into like the back room. And because no one knew, like we were like, it was cool, but we'll still mess with you.
Sure, sure.
I tried to sell a beat to Neo. And like I ripped on him because he was like, I don't want it. But I was like, dude, you made songs with Plies, dude. Like you can do a record with us. Like we almost got Rick Ross on a remix of me and my buddy. We made a song about chicken wings. And we were like, Rick Ross, listen, you need to get on this. This will be, and like, he thought about it for a minute, but then he was like, you know what? Nah, I don't want to be associated with y'all. Cause he watched the video and I had like a crown on my head and my shirt off. And I was like, I look just like you, Ross. But he was cool. He was a great dude. We had, what was it? Oh, I ended up being Kanye's security for like a good 3 minutes. So this was my dark, beautiful fantasy. Like, we had a radio listening session at like some club.
Okay.
And he was sitting there up front doing a Q&A, and then it just kind of ended weird and abruptly, which isn't anything surprise with Kanye. But this is back when he was a little more kilter. But we had fans there, and I was a cameraman and recording it, and then it was done. But we had the sea of fans between him and the back to where he needed to be. And then once people realized, like, oh, okay, we think this is done. Can we just go up and touch him? So the crowd started, like, just moving in on Kanye, and I made a split-second decision. Because I was still, you know, fresh off college football player jeans. Sure. Like, I still had big shoulders. I was like, so I ran up and grabbed Kanye, and we had this, like, bodyguard moment where, like, I didn't pick him up, but he had his hands on my shoulders, and I was like, pushing 12-year-old girls out of the way. Like, move it, yay! Move it! Move it! Just pushing people. And we all got to the back, and he's like, oh, man, thanks, fam. That was crazy. And then no one else was around, so it was just me and Kanye for, like, 3 minutes waiting in this back room and just having the most awkward thing. I was like, stadium music! Yep, that's what this album sounds like. Stadium music, man. That's nice. So, nah, it was cool. It was.
Kanye seems like the kind of guy that really, really enjoys small talk.
Yeah. Yeah. As long as it's about his wheelhouse.
Sure.
As long as it's about him, he's all good. Well, yeah, man. Nah, crazy times stealing the trucks when we weren't supposed to. It was only supposed to be official, like radio business. Like, so we used to have these tapes and we'd have to give them to the CW. For recording our TV show, because this is before you could just email files. Sure. So we would basically just steal the trucks and drive from Edina to St. Paul. And then we would drive all around the east side just smoking weed in these big ass trucks with the windows down and music blaring. And people like, oh, B96 in the hood. And we just throw out random merch. And it was all good until we witnessed a crime, and then we were like, oh, all right, maybe we should just stay in the suburbs because I don't want them to be like, on the station. Like, hey, we saw a B96 truck next to this breaking and entering. You guys got anything to do with that? And we were like, oh, we're eating chicken across the street. So,
Can I detour you from your stories a little bit? Because you used to talk about this. You know, when we first were getting to know each other, you kind of mentioned you play college football. You come from a crazy impressive family. Like, your dad and your grandpa are both crazy impressive in their own right. So you've kind of like had that.
My uncle or my grandpa?
Your dad and your grandpa. Your grandpa from the JCPenney's thing.
Oh, yeah. That was.
But also your uncle as well. Yes.
Yeah, you can do. I don't want to tell your story, but like, you always used to tell me that there was kind of a pressure on you to be something special because all the men in your family did something insanely special.
I mean, I wouldn't call it pressure. I would call it what other people thought I should do.
So pressure.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, Greg, that's the weed talking. There's tons of pressure on you.
Yeah, but it was never from inside. Like, it wasn't like, you need to punt. Like, I could, but like, it didn't come till later where I was like, hey man, I should have had you teach me how to punt more.
Well, like, no one knows what you're talking about, so let me back. Unfair. Okay. I throw you into. So your dad was the first black punt. He's in the Black Football Hall of Fame. He was the first black punter in the NFL. He's basically a legend. Your father
was the first black man to lift his leg and kick a football in the NFL. And shout out before it gets too sappy, but they're renaming the punter and kicker awards in black college football to the Greg Coleman Golden Touch Award. So like the Ray Guy Award. So he's got that.
That's fantastic.
Going on now. Yeah. No, it's cool.
And if I can be sappy for a moment, Your dad is one of the most wonderful people I've ever met. He's such an incredible, kind, giving human being. But also your grandfather, and now, because I feel like I'm just going to tell your story because you're not going where I want you to. Your grandpa was, as you put it, he was the first person, black person, to work the sales floor in the South at a department store.
Yeah, like Sears and Roebuck or one of those.
J.C. Penney, he was the
Montgomery
first
Moore.
dude to
Montgomery
fold
Moore.
shirts.
Fold shirts at a store he couldn't shop at, and got employee of the month at a store he couldn't shop at while it was open. Like, you know what I mean? That was some testitude. What is it?
Wait a second.
Testitude
Fortitude,
or whatever it
intestinal
was.
fortitude.
Yeah, that I didn't have. I just would have sold that shit.
Is it? Oh, I thought you were making a joke. That was real?
Oh, that's
yeah,
real.
no, that
No,
yeah,
that's
that was real.
Oh, well, for fuck's sake.
Isn't
Ah,
that incredible?
that's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, yeah,
What,
you
what's the
know.
deal with your uncle? You've never told me about your uncle. You just winged that in there.
Oh, no, my uncle played baseball. He's Vince Coleman back in the day, notorious base stealer.
Holy shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I keep it under wraps sometimes. Some people like to talk a lot about stats and what they remember, and I'm like, yeah, I wasn't there.
Cut to
And
Greg.
he played with
He
Ozzie
played
Smith.
with Ozzie, with Willie McGee, who can't ski, by the way, too tall to ski. Like, if you're 6'6", don't ski. Yeah, all those dudes. They World Series in 85 and 86,
87.
87.
Yep. Who
Yeah.
they lost to somebody, I can't remember.
Yeah,
Oh,
it
the
was the
Twins, the
Twinkies.
Minnesota
Yep.
Twins, yeah.
Lost to the Twins.
So
Yeah, man.
you have all those impressive people, and to quote you, you've made sneaking into places a hobby of yours.
Yeah, man, that's kind of well, I thought I was gonna sneak into the NFL. Like, that was, because it was just growing up around other like league babies and stuff like that. Like, everybody's dad is in the league, and a couple kids that I grew up with, you know, who are in our close, like Steve Jordan's kid, like, you know, Cam Jordan, like, you know, the future Hall of Famer. And Darren Nelson's son, he played University of Oregon and had a cup of coffee. And so it was just like, yeah, looking around, like, all right, cool, I'll go to the league, maybe. But like, this is kind of my problem. Like, I do what I should have done. Like, I could have had a clear cut route, possibly. It was like, dude, just punt. But I was like, no, nah, I want to hit people and get concussions. And like, the thing is, I could punt. Like, I just naturally had it in me to be able to punt and kick. But I was like, ah, no, nah, I want to do my own thing. And then, I was like watching tape my senior year, and I was like, oh yeah, man, I'm not going to the league. Like, I don't want it hard enough. Like, I don't.
That's the funniest version of I don't want to run the family farm, Dad, that I have ever heard in my life. Like, you're just
I
like,
don't want your life.
your dad's just like, there. All you have to do is kick you, it's in you. You kick a ball like 3 times a week, they give you $2 million a year, and you're like, you're not gonna tell me what to do.
Yeah, that was
I'm my
basically
own
it.
man.
And it wasn't even him. It was just annoying people in high school who
Sure.
would ask me, like, hey man, what's your dad think about the game? Like, fool, we don't, I don't, he hopes they're gonna win. Like, this isn't, that's not your relationship, dude.
You and I have more in common than we think, because when I was growing up, I remember thinking like, I'm definitely gonna have to get a DUI.
Yeah,
And
be
then I
just
got
like
it, and
Papa
then I got
Chad.
it, and I was like, well, now I can go 2 ways, right? I can either let this snowball into something horrific, or I can dial it in a little bit. And I went right down the middle of that. I went sometimes horrific, sometimes dial it in.
Yeah, man, we got to make our own choices.
I never
But
saw myself making the league, but I did think I could get some really creative DUIs.
I bet
And
this is a wet reference.
where I come from, that is the league.
Well, and to add another thing to your guys' similarities, there are several small town bars whose award shows are named after Chad's dad. This year's Stevie's, or this, ladies and gentlemen, and this year's Stevie for guy who pissed his pants next to a jukebox the most goes to Kevin. Oh.
The only man to get a DUI on a snowmobile that's not running.
Oh, the Stevies.
They're happy to be
somewhere.
The Stevie for Household Sadness goes to the Luthers.
The Stevie going to the only other man that has used a pull tab as a throwing star goes to Jonathan Jenkins.
Hey, man, dads are important. It's like either be really good or really bad if you want, you know, your kid to be. You know, I'm going to just kind of figure out my own thing.
Yep, exactly.
I alluded to this earlier, but you figured out one of your things is you just think it's funny to sneak into places.
Yeah, man. I just like, I heard my best friend's dad, who also played in the league, like my cousin was talking to him and he's like, dude, you just walk into any room and it's like you're supposed to be there. And he's like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Just walk into any room and act like you're supposed to be there. And I wasn't a part of the conversation, but I heard it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to try it out. Because it's like, I have a look that's like, he could be security. He could be a league player, like formerly. So like one of the first times I tested it out was there's a game day when they went to St. John's, like a few years
back. ESPN's college game day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was up there day drinking with some buddies irresponsibly because I had a show that night at Acme. And the worst thing you want to do is go an hour and a half away with some buddies who are like, no, we're just going to hang out for a minute. Uh-huh. Now, right. Like it was, we had three drinks in us before we left because the bar we met at had three for once for the graveyard shift. So it just, yeah, the drinks were going. And then so we got into the stadium. And he pulled up to the sideline where they had like the little police tape or whatever, like, oh, you guys can't go back. And some college kids, they were drunk, talking mess. And some dude's like, dude, I bet you $100 you won't walk out on the field. I'm like, this dude doesn't know me. I was like, because at this point, I was still working with the Vikings. So like every game I'd ever been on, I've been on the field. So yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I know where to stand. I know how to do this. I looked back at him. I was like, where's $100? He pulled it up. So I was like, I just walked up underneath the gate. And then I walked on one sideline and just stood there and hung out. And then I walked to the other side of the field where those guys were. And I sat there and I just kind of, I waved at them. And then a security guy, like the police officer, started like walking towards me.
Yep.
Like kind of looking around like, hey, I'm not sure if this guy. And I just kind of like just beat him to it. And I just walked up to him. And just like shook his hand and patted him on the shoulder. I was like, man, it's been a great day, man. This is really important for both teams. And he was like, yeah, I guess it is. I was like, yeah, man, have a good day. And I patted him on the back. And then I walked to the other sideline. And this time the team, they were doing warmups. This is how long I was out there. The team was doing warmups. They walked out of the field and then came back to the field. And then I was standing on the entryway, giving the dudes high fives as they were running back onto the field. And then I walked back. I was like, yo, man, got my $100. And then it was just like that. I snuck 12 people into a festival in Minneapolis, like one of the church one, the Basilica or something like that.
They okay, yeah. It. Oh, the street party?
Yeah, the street party. Just walked up to the, like, I looked at the security dude. And he was like 24, 25-year-old black kid. And I was like, yo, man, what's up? Through the artist entry. I was like, what's up, dude? He's like, oh, you supposed to be in here? I was like, yeah, I'm supposed to be in here. He's like, what about my friends though? Can they get in? He's like, oh man, yeah, I don't know. I was like, how about $20? You turn your head the other way. You're already getting paid. So I walked back. I was like, yo, y'all want to go to this concert? It's just me walking in with 12 white people like, do you know that guy? Are you supposed to? Like, stop, you rule followers. Just walk through and act like you're supposed to be there. Like, I don't know. It's fun. I snuck in a Segura's backstage.
Oh, nice.
I just tried. Like, he was surprised. Like, he was more surprised that security didn't do their job. But he's like, I'm impressed, though. He's like, how'd you get here? I was like, I just walked back here, Tom. He's like, all right, cool. You can have it.
Oh, that's funny. My friend Christian, who's been on the podcast before, he is a big traveler and likes to get into massive amounts of trouble when he can. Yeah. So we were staying at a hotel pretty close to Universal Studios in Burbank. and they were having this giant party in, all, it was almost half of the hotel. There's a big like pavilion center there.
Yeah.
And we went over and we were trying to see what was going on. And there were these giant Chinese men standing by the door. And Christian goes, we got to go, but you got to act like we belong in there. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go. And so Christian walks over and he starts tapping the guys. He goes, oh, wow, man. Good to see you. We'll just had to hit the can. You know how that goes. So we start walking in and they form a circle, not even stand in front of us, formed a circle. And then two of them were talking and they called someone else over from inside the party, spoke to that person. And then that guy asked us to leave the circle away from the door. And he said, I'm supposed to tell you this will be very bad for you and it's your last chance.
Ooh.
And we were like, okay, catch you later. And Christian wanted to go back. We found out it was the 16-year-old birthday party of one of the big generals from China. And we were, and they had gone to Universal Studios. They had gone there all day and this was like the dinner dance portion. And Christian still wanted to go in. After they told us, this is going to end poorly for you, and it's your last chance, Christian is like, I got it. Don't worry, I got it. You two are fucking dangerous to your friends. It's dangerous to be your friend.
Yeah, but it's also exciting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, like, it's exciting as you're hanging upside down and they come over with a fingernail clipper and just clip a little bit of your jugular and they go, you have 24 hours to answer our questions or you're going to bleed out. You're like, this is fun, isn't it, Greg?
Yeah. I mean,
isn't it?
Well,
I look like a 20... marlin hanging here. What a neat evening, Greg. Thank you.
I had a 24-year-old. You had the triads. Like, you
yeah,
just got to.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You got to, you know, fix it up all right. You got to, you know, do your thing. But, yeah, nothing ever led to death. Like, it was all places where I was like, yeah, I should be in there, or I could be in there. It was like rap concerts.
Yeah, there were this. You, a lot of these stories make a lot of sense. Like you can, you weren't like, I can get into anywhere. Me and my buddies sneak in to a Blake Shelton concert at the Elks Lodge, and like you know that there was none of that shit.
Yeah, it's not like you were saying I'm gonna somehow sneak into the White House.
Yeah,
all I need is this yak costume.
Yeah, nah, it's always just one person I just gotta, you know, be able to get to. But every once in a while, this one dude, Chappelle was in town a couple of years ago and he had this after party. And we didn't know where it was. We were just trying to go to this Jamaican spot and the party was upstairs and the dude was like, hey, you here for the party? And I had a buddy with me and he's like, oh, we were just trying to get some food. I was like, nah, yeah, we're here for the party. And then they let us upstairs. And then it was like Chappelle and all his crew. And I knew like three people in there. So I was like, yeah, man. Yeah, you always say yes. And someone's saying, are you here for something? Because that's security's fault. So.
Unless it's the guy that shows up in what's the old school?
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
I'm here for the gangbang. Yeah. You're like, yes. Yes. I was told I have to say yes every time.
Yeah. Well, that's a Will Smith card.
Well, I was just going to say, you're very charming in your own right, so you get into all these places, and I think it's because you plugged into Will Smith and took some of his charm.
Yeah, I took some of his Will gave me some of his juju.
You have a new album out, and it's going to sound like we edited there, but we didn't. That's how that ended, segues. You have a new album. It's called Dad's Garage, and I'm going to get into it in a little bit, but you also have, you since recording that album, has become your own. You've become a dad.
Yeah, she's in the back crying right now.
Oh, nice. I saw your daughter at the Acme 30th anniversary, and I don't know if you remember what I called her, but I called her VR. Because her new nickname for me is vasectomy reversal.
Seeing her made
me want to have a baby so incredibly bad. It was unreal.
Yeah, she's
man, it's a wild ride. We just got back from some family time up north, so I didn't get much time to hold her, and she was held every single second.
Uh-huh.
And I had some daddy daycare time last night where I just had to commit. I was like, I'm not picking you up. You got to cry it out. That lasted like 2 minutes. I was just like, yeah. I was like, I just got to remember this.
Exactly. Because I remember doing that with Olivia, and she graduates in 157 days.
Not like you've been counting.
Yeah. So just get ready for that shit. It flies.
Yeah. Yeah. But nah, man, it's cool. She's super cute and chill. She's either chilling, laughing, or wants to eat. Yep, so I can relate. Right. Yeah. I can relate to that.
Are you putting her in your act at all? Because I don't know if you know this about me. I need a new baby for my act.
Well, so we
definitely take her.
You can come get a couple days with her, see what happens.
Oh, yes.
Like, that's what I was thinking. I was like, yo, people are like, oh, you're going to talk about this kid so much. And it's going to be like, eh. And I was like, I got no jokes about her. I was like, I don't know if my baby's hacked. She ain't giving me much to work with. Or maybe I'm just like too much in it. You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's been.
You worked with kids. You worked with kids, and you have one of my favorite jokes of yours is that you went, parents forget to say two very important words to their children, and those words are "to me."
Oh yeah.
So when you know, you say like, "You're so beautiful," and you have to understand "to me." "You're such a great kid," to me. And I think about that all the time in like today's political climate, where it's like, people would just say "in my opinion" or "to me," it would make a lot more sense instead of pretending like everything's a fact.
Yeah.
So that's such a funny bit. So I'm very excited to hear the bits that you write about her, because I think they're going to be terrific.
Yeah. I had to fight it, because I started thinking about like dad jokes. And then like, I still kind of go back to like my young comic mind. It was like, oh man, people talk about families and that's hack and you got to talk blah, blah, blah. But I was like, nah, man, that's like my life. Like, that's most people's lives. So I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I mean, people
could
talk about
I could invite you to my lake cabin if you want to see how it turns out.
Yeah, no, it's very much so.
I'm just kidding. I hated that the listeners had to hear that, but I did think it was funny to friend.
Yeah, no, you got to let them know. They know what's up, baby. You know what I mean? They know what happens when they hit that Pandora, Chad.
He doesn't want to have another kid because he wants to raise another kid. We've got Chatty Daddy and I've got Costa Rica retirement plans, and that's not gonna happen talking about what's going on in the world.
Oh, I cannot tell you how many. So in Atlanta, I start talking, and this lady goes, "Talk about your kids," and that's happened a lot. And then her husband after the show tried to give me $100 because she interrupted me, and I'm like, you guys need to work this out. I don't give a shit. I understand people want to hear me talk about my kids, but also it's like, well, my son doesn't live with me, he's got his own life, so I don't really talk about him. And then I do have other thoughts.
Yeah,
I mean, my kids are very funny, but I do have other thoughts that some people don't care for. Chad,
you're like, stop talking about these seagulls. I want to hear about these kids. Did you take $100, Chad? Did you take the $100?
No, I don't take tips. It makes me feel gross.
See, this is exactly why I need to start talking about kids, so I can become successful enough not to take that $100.
Yeah, well, it just makes me feel gross. Down. You know, like when people give, they'll buy a shirt after the show, and then they'll go, "Keep the change." It's like, I don't want to keep your change. That's not what I'm doing here.
Yeah, no,
and I'm not trying to be like some hero. I just, it makes me feel gross when people tip me, because it's like, you bought the ticket, I did the show. That was our agreement. And so sometimes people get mad. They go, "Hey, you want to go get a drink?" And you'll go, "No, thanks, man. I'm heading back to the hotel." And they're like, "Oh, pussy." And it's like, no. The agreement is you bought the ticket, I did the show. That was the agreement.
I love that agreement in way of like support and stuff like that, because we all want to support you. No, just take the product, but I will take that cash and have no feelings of obligation afterwards.
Cut to my merch table behind Chad's table that just says "We'll kiss for tips."
It actually doesn't say "for," it just says "We'll kiss tips."
Chad is in a very, and I'll let the listeners know this, he's at a very that's Skeet McGraw. Like, I was at a pivotal moment in my career, and I thought, do I embrace Q or do I promote Q? So But Chad is at a very pivotal moment where if he doesn't talk about the world and he listens to that lady in the crowd, he could get Gallagher watermeloned. So you got to be careful. Yeah. This is the time. Otherwise, you'll be that guy that people are showing up to with just an hour about each of his grandkids.
Well, and it sucks too, because sometimes people, I don't think they get when I'm, they go, well, we don't want to hear your opinions on what's going on. It's like, that's what I've been doing the whole time.
Yeah. Never been about your kids.
But I've been doing it in a way where I associate it with my children because I am parenting.
That's your life, yeah.
And so that's the difference. It's like, now I'm just not telling my daughter about it. I'm coming straight to you.
Listen here, Chad. Listen here. I did not come here for your opinions on society or the goings about. I came here to talk about your children and how you feel about the way parents discipline them, for example, and all the way the world. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want your view of the world. I want your view of the world.
I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is your daughter going to prom or not? Does she want to? Look at me. Your daughter want to go to prom? Because I got 40,000 sky miles from Delta burning a fucking hole in my chain wallet. You understand me?
Yeah. I just figure it will happen when it happens. I'm so tired of talking about racism. But it keeps happening. You know what I mean? It's like, if y'all stop being racist, I wouldn't have to talk about it so much. You could get some more.
Your new bit about a word you get to use. And you get
which
to
word's that?
No thanks. You get to encompass everyone with that word.
Oh yeah.
Is so fucking great and right on the money. I was laughing so hard at the 30th before I didn't get my 30th anniversary hat.
Yeah.
You got your finger on the pulse, Mr. Coleman.
Hey, I'm just trying out here. I'm just trying out here.
Well, do you want to tell us about a two-year game of words with friends?
Oh, with Robert Ory.
Yeah.
I just dropped that name real quick and pick
it
up.
Yeah, Robert Ory is another fantastic athlete that Greg has
who's won all the – I like how Greg's stories – everybody casually sends over their stories. Like when Rand sent us his stories, he's like, one time I took a shit in a costume store. And yours are like, one of the greatest champions of all time. I just play a internet video game with him. So, you know, he's won 7 titles. Is it 7? Does Big Shot Rob have 7?
He's got 7. It's proof that he's in there. I'm not giving out the...
I like how you showed that and you covered it on the screen like we ever show our audience video.
Yeah, that is true. I guess I could... You would text him.
Yeah. Hey, don't fall for this shit, Greg. Sai is just wanting you to show the number on the screen.
So guess who's about to become Robert Ory's fucking buddy?
Yeah, man. I was surprised, man. For a few years, I was doing these NBA tours. And so every once in a while, like, we would have legends. Like, I remember I talked to you because I was doing something in Vancouver. And Isaiah Thomas was ours. And you and Brody just geeked out like, oh, okay, ask him this. On this particular stop, Robert Ory was our guy, and I don't know, like, we just hit it off and it was cool. But then, like, I saw him at the airport, so I just started, you know, sitting next to him. He's like, yo man, what's your number? I'm like, you ever in Houston, you know, come hit me up, blah blah blah. So I do that, and then he gives me, like, I get an invite from Words with Friends right. I was like, is this you? And, like, I text back. I was like, who's this? He's like, it's me, Robert Ory. I was like, how many times have you ever had to say, like, oh, it's me, Robert? Like, I saved that text on my phone for years. And, you know, like, the thing I liked about it is that we were both very, like, we'll play, and then forget about it for 3 months, and then play a word, and then text, like, yo, man, it's your turn. And then we went on this 6-month thing about how we thought Pitch Perfect was a great movie and how I made fun of him for, like, watching it. I was like, Pitch Perfect? I was like, you're an NBA champion. What are you talking about, Pitch Perfect? And then one time I actually watched the movie on the plane and I was like, you sound corrected, sir. It's a solid movie. He's like, you're right. I told you. Like, so, yeah, man, I don't know. Is this being in weird places? Because, like, how I ended up getting that job. I wasn't supposed to be there. like with the NBA, I was just supposed to do, we went to All-Star game and I worked for the company that put everything on. And so I was just a grunt, and they put me at this basketball station, and then like 300 people ended up at this outdoor basketball station just trying to do an outdoor open gym. I was like, this ain't going to work. We're going to get sued. Right. So I just spread everybody out and just did it like AM1 style and started hosting. And the boss came down like, yo, who's that dude like controlling this court and like talking to people? That's not what this is supposed to be. But it ended up working out. And then they're like, hey, man, come host events. And
oh, cool.
Like a nice three, four-year run with those guys. And have some stories that people probably don't want told on this podcast. you know, Jason Kidd, you remember what you did. Jason Richardson, we'll keep Edmonton to ourselves, but man, that was a great Regina. Oh God, the things we can't discuss. But no.
Oh, I love that so much. Here's what's incredible to me is that you've had all these different opportunities, right? You worked at the number one morning show, and I mean, I'm sure that morning show was nationally ranked.
Yeah.
You do this NBA thing. You've been to Kirby Puckett, you know, one of the greatest twins to ever live. You've been to his New Year's Eve party. You've done all of these crazy things. And then with all of that, you decide to do in what, in my opinion, is the hardest fucking thing in the world to succeed at, comedy. And you've done it. You've moved up. You've made steps, and you're succeeding without all of that other stuff as a crutch. And to me, that is so goddamn impressive, man. Congrats on all of it. I just, you have your new album, Dad's Garage. The second track on that, School Bouncer, is where you can hear the To Me bit. And I love that two of the tracks on there are, number one, I'm Done Recycling, and then I'm Recycling Again. And they're back to back. So it's just... little hint at you know, what goes on with everybody, a little bit of hypocrisy, man. It's a great album. Please listen to it. It's Greg Coleman, Dad's Garage.
And then also, yeah. Well, because I dropped two this year. So yeah, 2 months later, I dropped another one. Dad's Garage did better. That one it definitely did better than the second album, but no, it was fun.
Well, the second album is Sex Receipts.
Yeah, that's going to be hard for people to be like, sex receipts. But the funny thing, it's an adorable joke about kids. that's the crazy thing. I was like, maybe right. I shouldn't have named it that. But
yeah, no. But I mean, it is, when you listen to the bit, it's like, oh, a baby is a sex receipt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so two albums. Definitely check him out. He's, you're one of the only people I've ever known to drop two albums in a year.
Yeah, I was trying to do it like DMX, you know what I mean? Like just back to back, just two albums.
So thanks for coming on. Absolutely appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man. But I mean, also real quick, I'll add this, like how those other things that happened in life were just like, I don't know, it was just life. Like it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to try to do this or try to do that. It was just opportunities that happened and get to be around all these cool people. But even in comedy, like I get to be around some really awesome people. You know what I mean? Like I'll give you guys your flowers, like, you know, like the friendships
that flower us
that
up,
develop,
shower us with flowers.
You know what I mean? And it's like the fact that like in one night I talked to you two, I talked to Bozeman, and I talked to Daryl Lennox. And it was just like, yo, these are, you know,
yeah,
really great guys who are respected. And I feel like I got good relationships with people, and they kind of happen genuinely. So, yeah. You know,
well you're likable for now.
Yeah.
That's now. My,
as long as our CDs don't come out on the same
exactly.
Day.
That's my to me is you're likable for now.
Yeah. I'll accept that.
And can I give you a little piece of advice, Greg? Because I would, Chad, I think you'll agree with this. Greg, I've seen you since basically the moment you stepped on stage for the first time. You have a very natural stage. You're like, you're just charming and impressive on stage regardless of the jokes that are coming out of your face. And right now you're looking at the two ways that can go.
Yeah.
You can either work hard and get good at jokes about your kids, Or you can shout a lot and eventually get a disease. So right now it's important to pick a path.
And right now yours is blurry and your video is blurry and you're just slowly fading.
It's not blurry. That's just what I look like. That's
Yeah.
just my, that's just what's happening to my
So that route.
face.
So I think I should go the chat route, which
Yeah,
is
no
really
shit. He's
good,
like
right?
Michael
And get a
J.
lay power.
Fox's siblings in Back to the Future
I
in
swear
the
to
little.
God, did Thanos snap wherever you are? You look like you're dissolving right now.
Oh my God, I gotta go.
Hey, if you guys like this, there will be a new episode next Monday and every single Monday at 8 a.m. So click the subscribe button so your phone sends it to you without having to do any work.